Welcome to Negotiation with Alice, your negotiation podcast. I am here to answer all your questions about anything and everything negotiation-based. It can be about something with your children, your spouse, your friends, your colleagues, your family, your parents. Come on the show, ask me a question, and I will give you negotiation advice. Welcome to the show. I'm very lucky to have Robert Gillette here today with me. Robert, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. My name is Robert Gillette. I'm the owner of the MSP Dojo. It's a community where IT companies, MSPs, MSSPs come together and practice their sales craft because practicing is always expensive. You're either practicing it in a community like ours or you're practicing it on your prospects, which is embarrassing and expensive. And I don't know if you're anything like most MSPs, you need every lead to close if it can. You don't really have leads to waste. So that's what I do.
Fabulous. And I think that you've got a very interesting question for me, one that straddles business and professional, right? So what's your question today?
Yeah. I've taken a lot of negotiation courses. Negotiation is a pretty common thing when you're practicing your sales craft. But I've always wondered, what are some of the big pitfalls a lot of people have when they take all these skills and tactics and tools they're learning on the business side and then try and just deploy those in their personal life with, say, wife or kids or, you know, spouse of some kind? Like, what are some of the big pitfalls you see people fall into when they just try and carbon copy the skills from one and put it in the other?
So that's a really great question. And what I would say is that it's not so much that they are taking these skills and using them poorly in their personal lives. It's more that they learn those skills, they use those skills in their professional life, and they forget to use them in their personal life. They forget to translate over from professional to personal. And so part of it too is when you have an intimate relationship with someone, could be a spouse, could be your parents, could be your children, there's also emotions involved. And when emotions become heightened, your brain sort of shut down. The thinking part of your brain shuts down. It's a part of the amygdala's response, which is putting you into fight, flight, or freeze mode. And now suddenly you don't have access to all of your negotiation skills, nor do you have access to your creative problem solving skills. And so right when you need it, when things are getting heated, you're in the moment. The biggest mistake I think that people make is that they try to continue to move through the negotiation instead of taking a break, recognizing in themselves, oh, I'm feeling really emotional. I better walk away from this. And not walking away, meaning stonewalling, but to say, Robert, I need to take a minute. Like, I have to process this and I have to calm down a little bit. Now, let me back up a little bit, though. Doing that in the moment doesn't necessarily help if you have not set up the frameworks prior to the conflict. So if I just tell you in the middle of something, you've told me something and I'm very upset and I just say, look, I can't respond to this and I walk away, that might not go over well with you if we did not discuss beforehand. However, if I discussed with you prior when everything was calm and I said, Robert, the next time I'm feeling very upset, angered, triggered, can we agree? Well, either one of us feeling this way, can we agree that if someone asks for a timeout, that we grant that timeout and the person asking for it guarantees it will come back to this conversation within a reasonable time, let's say within 12 hours, right? Or whatever the agreement is. And if you make those agreements, then when I'm feeling really upset, I can say, Robert, I think I need to take a moment. I'm not feeling really in a good place to respond properly. Then you can say, okay, that's fine. Knowing that I will come back to the conversation, I will respond. But what happens is people show up with the negotiation skills that they've learned at work. They get triggered, have a very heightened emotional response. Now they're trying to move through the negotiation while they're really upset and they're fumbling the ball, using a sports analogy, because they can't access the skills that they were able to use when they felt calmer, such as in a business negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to Negotiation with Alice. I want to remind you to visit ShekinahNegotiationAcademy.com. There, you will have access to multiple classes and lectures covering all aspects of negotiations. Professionals will find negotiation tips focused on closing customers. Also, there are personal growth strategies for negotiating milestones such as raises and navigating difficult topics in relationships. We look forward to seeing you on ShekinahNegotiationAcademy.com.
I wonder if this is the, it seems like it falls into the same category as compliance fatigue. Like my kids right now, they're 5 and 7 and they go to school and they are angels at school. And we get reports back about their, how they're just so good. They're on their best behavior. And then they come home and it's a dumpster fire. It's just like every family value we have like falls out the window for like the first 45 minutes. And it does. I wonder if this is like the adult version of it. We put on our best behavior when we go to work. We deploy all our skills and all our tools, and then we come home and we just want to relax. We forget that the people around us are just as important, if not more important. We should be saving our A game for them instead of just wasting it all at work. So I wonder if that's the same thing.
It is very similar. I do think, I'm not sure that it's the compliance fatigue, but it's more that things at work and at school typically are less emotional because the relationships aren't as intimate, right? Whereas when you come back, it is like you say, when you're familiar with someone, you can have bad behavior because you know it's a safe space. Mm-hmm. You know that person is not going to say, okay, Robert, like never speak to me ever again, right? Because of one bad episode. Now, if this is ongoing, it might be a different story, but you know, if you've got a bad day, no one, you know, that's safe. It's a safe place. Your mm-hmm. family will still be your family tomorrow.
And so, well, yeah, and there's reason, also that dynamic. Like if you have a customer that you're just not working it out with, you just let them go. You can't do that with everybody at home. You know, it's a very messy to end some kind of parental or, you know, familial or spousal relationship. You can't just quote walk away if you can't make the terms meet, you know?
So one of the things that I think that helps family dynamics, and most families don't do this, is setting up frameworks by which you can function when things are getting heated. Even for kids, you can say, hey, if you need to go and scream and you're upset, here are the guidelines. You can do it in your room, right? Or you can do it in your room with the door closed, but you can't do it in the living room, mm-hmm. right? So to set up the framework so that everyone understands what's okay and what's not okay, and giving everyone the space to release whatever heightened emotion they're feeling, whether it's going into your room and screaming if you're a kid, or punching the pillow if you're the kid, mm-hmm. versus me as an adult asking, I'd like to be able to ask for timeouts and I would like for you to grant them whenever mm-hmm. I ask for them, and I will come back after I calm myself down. Now, once you ask for that timeout as the adult, you need to be able to self-soothe and manage your emotions so that you can bring them down. One of the easiest ways, without going into therapy, is just doing a deep breathing exercise where you breathe in very slowly on a count of 4, hold it for a count of 5, exhaling on a count of 6 or some variation. And you'll notice even after doing 2 or 3 of those, you're going to feel more grounded and calmer and releasing some of that heightened energy. And then you can come back and say, okay, now we can talk about it. But the other thing that helps is that when you do go away, you get to process what was said to you and you get to think about, how do I want to respond in a thoughtful manner?
Yeah. Or like my son, who's 7 years old, just going, I'm having a hard time controlling my temper, is what he yells and curls his fists and just walks away. And we go, you know what? That's an appropriate way for a 7-year old to handle this. Adults, you know, we like to think we're far more developed in many different ways, but especially if you're stale, pale, and male like me, like I was never raised with the tools to manage my emotions. I had to learn those way later in life. And I think there's quite a few of us have not ever learned that. So yeah, great advice. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much, Robert, for asking that question. And if people would like to work with you, how can they contact you?
My LinkedIn is the only social media I'm on. So if you just search for Robert Gillette MSP Dojo, you're going to find it. Or you can email me, robert@mspdojo.net.
Thank you for tuning in to Negotiation with Alice, your negotiation podcast. It's been a pleasure having you be part of the conversation. Please hit like, share, and subscribe, and we'll see you next time. If you enjoyed my podcast, Negotiation with Alice, and are interested in working with me to level up your negotiation, communication, and persuasion skills, please check out ShekinahNegotiationAcademy.com. That's Shekinah, spelled ShekinahNegotiationAcademy.com. See you on the next podcast.